Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And we are back, gentlemen, for I think this is our fifth year, actually, of doing this. Can you believe
it?
Fifth year.
I can't believe it's come round again.
I can.
So we are here to talk about Melodifestivalen, which is Sweden's show to select their entry for the Eurovision Song Contest. And it is, I think, our favourite national final. I say this every year, don't I? But it really is the best show in town, as they keep saying.
I think that's because they are the gold standard, aren't they?
Yeah. And obviously this year, you know, they're having to put that extra effort in because obviously they're hosting this year, thanks to Loreen's well-deserved win from last year.
Yeah, home soil. And that is exactly where we are for heat number one, which is
Malmö.
It feels so strange that they're in Malmö, in Malmö Arena, where they're actually going to be hosting the contest in May this year. And they're like, yeah, that's just a heat for us. That's a tiny little venue where we'll hold a heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually going to be the venue for Eurovision. So interesting choice to kick us off. So what we're going to have is a change to what we've seen in previous years. We are having five rounds of six songs. So five heats, six songs, 30 songs in total, which is two more than we've had in previous years, where we've had seven songs over 4 weeks, then a second chance round, then a final. But this time we're doing five heats, six songs, and then somehow we're squeezing in a second chance round on heat 5 week as well, before a grand final. Huh? Okay, whatever. We will roll with it, but I'm still disappointed.
We'll figure it out.
Slightly disappointed, no Andra Hansen. Not a proper one anyway. Anyway, all change, but sometimes change is good. Refreshes everything.
Yeah.
So we are here to guide you through the first six songs of Heat 1. Our host for this year is Carina Barrier, who is married to Eric Barrier, who is a footballer, apparently. Which I'm sure all three of us are going, huh?
We'll go,
who? Because we don't follow football, sorry.
Something sports ball.
Yeah. It's the first solo host, actually, that we've had in quite a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we've had... I know we had Oscar Zia presenting kind of solo, but then Farah started to talk about he started taking a bit more of a role to support him as the weeks went on a couple of years back. So, as you said, we are in Malmö, and it is packed, by the looks of it, packed to the rafters. Full to capacity and lots of mellow glow sticks. I want a mellow glow stick. Have you seen those little ones they've got? They've got the Mellow M logo.
No, they're waving it around.
And this year, the stage seems to be three massive screens, basically. Three gigantic LED screens, you know, which they're using that and they can part and you can have lights coming down the middle and stuff. So not an elaborate set. It is mainly focused on let's throw up some massive screens and then let's throw some really good graphics on that. And obviously a graphic on the floor as well, which is nice. Right. So shall we start with a recap? I think
let's
we should.
Do that.
Let's refresh our memory. So here is the six songs from Heat number one of Melfest. Starting with Adam Woods and Supernatural. Samir and Victor, Hella Valian, Valdan, sorry, Venta. Melina with Min Melody. Elisa Lindström, Forever Yours.
No,
It's Ajax, Awful Liar. And finally, Smash Into Pieces, Heroes Are Calling. So, a mix of songs, I think, there. We shall start then with Adam Woods and Supernatural. Now, this is the second year for Adam. He first competed last year with Jon Henrik and the impossibly long title, and he came fourth in the final. So, kick us off, Mark. What did you reckon to Adam Woods?
Do you know what? I thought it was a perfectly pleasant song, a nice way to kick us off. But unfortunately, not a lot really stood out for me. I felt like we've seen it before. The song, the type of lyrics, the type of staging. We've seen it, and I just felt it needed a bit more oomph, behind it.
For you. Okay, Alex, what about you?
I mean, pretty much the same. And I talk about this, like, every year. Like, where's the Eurovision factor in some of these entries? Where's that little thing that's going to just push it a little bit over into that Eurovision star factor?
Yeah, I think for me, I started listening to it and watching it and went, hang on, isn't this Euphoria? It's got shades of Euphoria.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Even down to the moves he does, where he's like reaching out and stuff. It's like, hang on. Yeah, you're trying to copy Loreen, and you know she's just won it again. we don't need another Loreen. But it is a nice bit of synth pop. It's sung well, and he has got that hook, I think, for it. It's something I'd play again, I think. I'm not just going to write it off and go, no.
Oh, no. It was a competent song. I think, just like Alex said, it just didn't have the je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
To make it stand out.
Okay, well, we will rattle on to song number two then, which is Samir and Victor. The title translates as The Whole World is Waiting. This is the fourth attempt that they've had, and they've never missed a final. Last appeared in 2018 when they did Shuffler, and I believe one of their videos, I'm not sure which one is, I can't remember now, but one of their videos from Melfest is the top watched one out of all the Melfest videos that have been published. That is the biggest one, and it just so happens to be one where they've got their tops off and they're covered in baby oil.
It's appealing to a certain demographic.
I mean, for me, this is a party chant anthem, which we have been seeing more of in Melfest. You know, Ina Mina Dimmen, I think it was last year. We've had that. It's kind of football-y chant almost, a sing-along chorus that... You know, it's in Swedish, so it's designed to target the locals. It's not necessarily looking for an international audience. No. It is just about producing a fun pop song in the local language. It's got a glitter cannon. It's got them bouncing around. But you know what? Guys, you're not getting any younger. They're covered up for a start, so maybe they're in there. Now, as they mature, they're like, no, we don't do that anymore.
No. We'll keep our pecs and abs hidden.
Up your street, Alex, or not?
I mean, Mark knows this from when we watch it at night. At the beginning of the song, I had to kind of get up and go searching for my keys because I couldn't find one in this song.
Harsh.
You heard those vocals.
Yeah. I think on the radio show, Mark, you were not particularly kind about their vocal
No. It was all over the place.
Yeah, it was a bit kind of confused. Like, it started off again, like you said, with that kind of football kind of chanty bit with the chorus came along, and then it completely kind of changed, like, tempo and style when they did, like, the dance breaks in the middle. So it was very kind of, for me, it was very jarring, because it was like it couldn't make up its mind about what kind of a song it was.
Yeah, handbrake turn, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd written in my notes, what is the genre? what are they going for?
Aging men trying to do teeny bop?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they had great chemistry. I'll give them that.
Yes, and they do. You can tell that they are great mates. It's not really something that I'm into, to be honest.
Nah.
No. Okay, let's move on then to song number 3, which is Melina with My Melody, Min Melody. So a second song in Swedish. Okay, Mark.
Oh. you know what? She performed it really, really well. Nice vocals. She clearly had the time of her life. She was smiling ear to ear, great big grin on her face. You know, but how boring. You know,
it is
singing on stage with a guitar with some lamps from IKEA, I think somebody said last night.
It is. I mean, she's the only debutante from this semi, oh,
okay.
From this heat.
Yeah.
It is, unfortunately, the token ballad to provide balance and variety, which yeah. also means that she's cannon fodder, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It's harsh, I know, but she is literally here to make up the numbers. It feels like, and somebody has to come last. And I could see from the beginning that, unfortunately, she was going to really struggle. It's one of those songs where you can do a ballad and you can progress, but you have to have something special about you or that song to get it to carry on. We see a lot of these in these heats, unfortunately. And they just don't. They're workmanlike. They are well performed. Like you said, good performance. She enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was all right, but it was wallpaper, unfortunately. But as a showcase for an artist who's trying to start out, because she's quite a new artist, then great platform. Why not?
Yeah.
It gives the exposure. And it's got a key change, which is nice. It's kind of there. It's nice, but yeah. It's all
yeah.
Right. What did you reckon, Alex?
Pretty much the same, really. It was nice to get some new blood into Melfest, get to see some new artists show their stuff, but it just got a bit kind of lost for me, this one.
Yeah, shame. Okay, we will move on then to song number 4, Elisa Lindstrom, Forever Yours.
Oh, here we go.
Stop the contest now. We have a winner.
It is a bona fide banger.
We don't need to go any further. We have a winner. Let's just direct to finale, direct to Eurovision. No, that's fine. Just give her as much money as she needs to do it. I love it. I feel that you feel the same, Mark.
Oh, I thought it was absolutely superb. It was giving me ABBA, it was giving me Steps, it was giving me, you know, that late 90s, early noughties vibe. You know, she can sing as well. She performed it well.
Mm.
Not sure about the kind of like stuff on her hands. That'll be.
I thought it was a glove.
A bugger to wash up. No, it's. I don't think it is.
It's not, is it? It's.
No.
She's coated her arms and her hands in glitter.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's dedication to a performance for me.
God, she'll be flaking everywhere. Yeah, every person she's touched is going to be covered. Wow, what did you reckon, Alex?
I mean, the song, like Mark said, it was a really good, proper Eurovision banger. And she looked amazing. It was giving me very sort of Venus rising out of the ocean. In that sense.
Yeah.
Although, mind you, like, there were a couple of times where, you know, she... That's with the, how short that skirt was, she'd sort of sway her hips and you almost could see her clamshell.
Did you see we got a flash of pant?
Yes, yeah. On multiple occasions.
I was like, and the
straps on her dress, I thought we were about to, like, the straps were coming so far down, I thought we were going to have our very first, like, Melfest nip slip. The look was simple, but it was really good.
And it's just, for me, it was right. It was like Melody Festival in circa 2005, 2006, you know, where we had Linda Bengtzing, Shirley Clamp, Alcazar, all taking part. And we had these absolute ABBA-esque bangers. It ticks all the boxes. We've got hand claps. We've got pyros on there. She belts that out. I can almost imagine this was written with Charlotte Pirelli or Pernilla Wahlgren.
You
can imagine Charlotte singing that.
Charlotte would kill that.
Yeah. And it did, you know, Elisa did a fantastic job on the vocal on that. That is completely up my street. That is what got me into Melfest in the first place, that kind of music. And I'm so glad that it's come back. You know, it's been a long time. But if it's successful, and we'll talk more about that towards the end, are we going to see more of that? Could we see a renaissance?
A renaissance of cheese and Schlager and camp.
I shall try and contain myself. Right. Song number 5. God, we are racing through them.
Yeah.
Song number 5, Lisa Ajax, Awful Liar. Now, in her intro video, she's cleaning the bogs.
I know. We were like,
why are they doing this to her?
And the fact that they go to the point of putting dirty tissues in the toilet as well. I hope they were, like, stained with coffee or something, because that's unhygienic otherwise.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
I was trying to eat my popcorn, and I was a bit like...
She definitely drew the short straw with that kind of, like, intro video, postcardy thing.
Yeah, because...
All the others were doing nice things, and she had to clean the bloody bog.
Because the theme for the postcard seems to be helping Karina do some jobs around the arena to prep for that evening show. And so, as you say, yeah, she got the short straw, having to clean the toilet. Now, this is the fifth attempt Lisa has had. She last saw her in 2022, and she didn't qualify for the final or second chance at that point.
Yeah.
This year she's back and she's pregnant and giving it a go, because I believe she's due to give birth around April, I'm sure I read. Wow. Which is very close to Eurovision.
I was about to say, can you imagine if she ends up just like going into labour on stage? And so some Eurovision official has to be like, right, we have to cancel your rap because there's now too many people on the stage.
Well, maybe she thought, we're on home turf, so it's fine. I don't need to worry about travelling or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, then, Alex, what did you reckon to the song then, Awful Liar?
It was a good song. It was very well sung, very well put together. The staging of it was subtle but effective. And I really liked the choreo the two dancers were doing behind. I thought it was very, very well handled.
Lots of emoting, isn't it, from the dancers and telling a story and people falling around and stuff. What did you reckon, Mark?
I thought... in her previous appearances at Malfest, I've always thought that she performed well. I liked the songs. If I remember rightly, she was one where they staged it and it was like in a hair salon a few years ago. And so I've always thought she, you know, was a lot of fun, but I've never kind of like rated her vocally. But last night's performance put pay to that opinion I had. I thought she absolutely sung that superbly. She hit the notes. She had the right emotion in it. Mm. I thought it was a really kind of like professional performance. And a really nice song. I just thought it was really good.
Yeah. I thought she, it's kind of mid-tempo, but it's got the hook, that awful liar phrase. You know, that's your hook. That's the bit you remember. Very good vocally. It is more of a grower for me rather than wow, I really, really like this. I can see, you know, on repeated listens, it kind of embeds and it click, but it's not got the necessary instant appeal that you perhaps need for a Eurovision song.
Yeah. I'm just looking at my notes from previous Malfest, because I've got a little notebook where I keep it all.
Oh, that's cool.
And 2022... Malfest Semi 2 was where Lisa Ajax last performed with Niello. And I'd written, I like it. Her vocals are not great at times.
And that was the one with the IKEA lamps, as you said, standing in for hairdryers.
Hairdryers, in a salon. I think she's developed into a great performer.
I'm glad she's got rid of the potty mouth now. I don't give a... Yes, we understand. Right, song number 6 then, our final one of the evening. Smash Into Pieces, Heroes Are Calling. They're back after coming third last year. Incredibly successful and one of the favourites going into this. But to be honest, it felt a bit like their song from last year. There were elements of it. You think, hang on, didn't you have a bit like that last year? 6 Feet Under sounded a bit like that at that point. I kind of feel you know what you're going to get from them. You know, you're going to get the kind of rocky, poppy kind of stuff with the gravelly, throaty vocals, and you've got the guy on the drums. With the LEDs and stuff on his face, hiding, you know, hiding himself. Did you notice this year as well? The guitarists had like little wires and bits. They look like Borg. You know, they've got stuff on their face, so they've been Borgified. We've got lasers. We've got guitars. It feels like same as what we kind of saw last year. But what did you think, Alex?
I mean, you know what I'm like. I always like the more sort of the more alternative forms that we don't always see at Eurovision. I like the weird ones. I like the more rocky stuff. Which isn't to say that I didn't like our usual kind of poppy, abbery, disco-y stuff that we usually see at Eurovision, but it's always nice to see someone like Smash Into Pieces, who are a little bit different, who are going to stand out and going to make their mark on the competition in that way. And I think that showed again this year.
Fair enough. Mark, what did you reckon?
I thought it was, again, as... You know, considering that it's a genre of music that I wouldn't normally go for, I enjoyed the performance. As you said, Gary, I think it's pretty similar to 6 Feet Under from last year. I think there's even a couple of hooks in the melody that I think are the same. I think the chorus is good. I think his vocals maybe need a little bit more oomph on the verse. He's a bit quiet on the verse. But again, good staging, good use of the screens and LEDs and all that sort of stuff. I am not at all surprised that spoilers, they got through. It doesn't surprise me at all.
So that is our six songs for Heat number one. Not seven now, so they have a bit of extra time to play with. Our interval act for this Heat, celebrating 25 years since they burst onto the pop scene, the 18s came back. Wow. So they came back with a banging medley of their songs. Except halfway around the world. Hello.
Yeah, that was my disappointment. Why did they not sing Halfway Around the World? You let us down, 18s.
No, don't like it. I think you texted me, didn't you, Mark? When you, because I'd not even got to it, and you were ahead of me, and you were like, "Oh my God, Aberteens!" Oh, sorry, 18s. Can't call 18s. Themselves Aberteens because they got slapped down by Aber.
Well, they can't really call themselves teens anymore. Because they're like, what, 40, 50 years old?
Yeah, they're probably...
They're just A.
Yeah. A. They must be well into their late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm sure they're older than us, so, yeah.
Are they? They are. Definitely.
It was really nice to see them come back. Slightly disappointed that they just kind of came on, performed, and then shuffled off. There was no, like, hey, well, you're back together, for the first time in ages, and no chat to them to say, how does it feel? Being reunited on stage after all this time, because it's been a while, I think, since they disbanded. Mm. It just kind of felt like they were there and then gone. I was like, oh, okay, bye then, thanks.
See ya.
Let's get on to the voting then and how things panned out. So similar to what we've had in previous years, they did a round of voting. And then they announced the act that was top of the scoreboard at that point and who would be going straight to the final. And that was Smash Into Pieces, Heroes Are Calling. Did you have them pegged for director finale?
Probably, I think, out of those songs. Probably not my first choice, but I did think that I was fairly sure that they would get through, to be honest.
Yeah, they were favourites, so I think we would have been surprised if they didn't progress in some form, to be honest. So we then reopen the vote lines, which to me always feels a bit weird, because you've done a round of voting and you've put the top act straight through, but then you've reopened it. Well, what if things change, and more songs get more votes, obviously. And what if the top actually would have changed and that song that got through on that first round actually would have been bumped down and have come third or fourth and didn't go direct to final?
Yeah, it is odd.
It's a bit of an odd way of doing it.
Yeah. Although at the same time, you could potentially argue that if you are going to vote, you are going to vote as soon as you can, and you're not going to wait unless you get a certain amount of free votes, and people might vote again.
Yeah, it's mostly done through the app, and it is a very quick voting rounds, it feels like now. So, vote lines reopen then, and we then get the announcement broken down by age group again.
Yeah.
So I'm just having to bring up the result art now. I've got a table to look at. I'm trying to bring it over on the screen so you can have a look. We had it broken down by a telephone vote and then the age groups, starting with 3 to 9 year olds at the lower end of the scale, up to 75 plus at the top end. And that's all done through the app. I guess where you must have to put your age in to register. So I'm just looking looking at the breakdowns. So we had Supernatural getting a 12 from the 3 to 9 year olds, and then a row of 10s. So basically from 10s all the way through to 44s, they all gave him 10. They gave him 10s.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't up until you kind of got to the 75 plus in the telephone vote that he got in the lower end.
Yeah. He was fairly consistent all the way through, wasn't he?
Yeah. Interesting. Forever Yours with from Elisa scooped up some 12s at the upper end of the age brackets. Yeah. You can see. So we've got the 60s to 74s and the 75 plus, plus the telephone vote, all giving her 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming the telephone vote is skewed that way more because an older demographic is more likely to ring in than use the app, perhaps.
Maybe. Well,
because we have to remember the phone lines, that there's a lower rate phone line if you just want to vote, but then there's a higher rate phone line if you want to donate to Radio Yelpen, the charity that runs alongside Melfest every year. So it just feels like, you know, an older demographic. Looking at how it's broken down in the app, I think an older demographic was using the phone line, and that's how she got the 12. And to be honest, yeah. I was amazed. When she started getting some 12s, I was like, wow. I honestly thought that she couldn't get it. She couldn't do it because people are just like, we've moved on. That's Melfest of 20 odd years ago.
Yeah.
We want something different.
I mean, people like nostalgia, don't they? And they like to be reminded of things from 20 years ago, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then we had, it was Lisa, an awful liar, that scooped up the majority of the high scores. I think the lowest score was an eight off the 3 to 9 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much every age range from 10. So we had 10 up to 59 gave her 12s, and then everybody else, you know, the 60 plus gave her the 10s.
Yeah.
So no surprise then, based on that, she goes direct to finale alongside Smash Into Pieces. And our second chances are going to be Supernatural, had 66 points, and coming third, Forever Yours with Elisa at 69. I'm just so pleased that Elisa's there.
And me.
I don't know. I think she was robbed, but still.
You know what? Going into, you know, when they started racking up the 12s at the upper age range, I was like, could she do it? Could she actually squeak in, you know, the second place and grab that final? I had a brief hope, you know, just for a minute or so. I mean, do you agree with the result? Would you have subbed out any of the non-qualifying songs?
No.
No. I'm happy with how it went.
So
mostly.
Yeah. I mean, My Melody, we as we said earlier, unfortunately, cannon fodder. We knew it wasn't going to progress, really. No. Samir and Victor, though, this is the first time they have not progressed in all their appearances. I had them down as second chances, not winners.
Right. Okay.
But considering it's only you know, the Swedish population voting, there's no international jury here at this point. I thought they were popular enough, based on the previous performances, that they could at least get a second chance place. So I was very surprised.
I think the vocals did for them, to be perfectly honest.
They
just weren't good enough.
No.
Unfortunately.
Oh, well, that is Heat 1 done and dusted for this year. Oh.
Wow.
I can't believe it's come around already. Okay, that is it from us for this week. Stick with us over the coming weeks as we delve into Heats 2, 3, 4 and 5 and then the grand final on the 9th of March. Right, until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.